So Mara, I was just paging through the 2025 edition of the Easter Messenger, and I noticed that there was an article in there that was written by you.
Yes, that's true. I was asked to write an article for the Easter Messenger about an Easter song, and the song that immediately came to mind for me was the song written by our grandpa John Warrenemy, song number 98, as it has a special connection to our family and has been a well-loved song by us for our whole lives.
I suppose before we get too far into this conversation, we should introduce ourselves. I'm Nels Warrenemy, and I'm talking with my sister, Mara Warrenemy. And the hymn that we're discussing today was written by our grandfather, John Warrenemy. So we're really keeping it in the family for this conversation.
Yes, that's true. So Nels, could you tell the listeners a little bit about who our grandpa was?
Our grandpa was born in 1913. He grew up in northern Minnesota. He served in the army around the time of the Second World War. For his career, he worked for the railroad for Burlington Northern and lived much of his life in North Minneapolis on 425 for those who know the area. He served as a minister in our church and also served on the LLC board. On a personal level, his life was also touched by grief. But Mara, could you tell us a little bit about his life from that perspective?
Yes, he married Viola Nelson as a young man, and together they raised a large family of 12 children and one baby who died very young. Viola was diagnosed with brain cancer, and she was very sick for many years and ultimately ended up passing away from the cancer at a young age. I think the oldest was a young adult, and the youngest was just a few years old. So after she passed away, he raised his family on his own while working full time to provide for the family and support and raise the family. Of course, with a lot of help from other people as well, but an experience like this, of course, really shapes the rest of your life and also affects the future generations as well.
We often heard that story growing up about how our grandpa raised his family as a single father. And I suppose growing up, it just becomes normal. But now that we're becoming, well, you've been an adult for already more than a decade, but and I suppose I've been an adult for quite some time myself. But now that we're stepping into new responsibilities in our lives, it puts that kind of grief into a new perspective. It's really a remarkable life story that I probably didn't realize just how remarkable it was until when I was growing up.
Yeah, exactly. And he's also someone who enjoyed poetry.
That is true. We often heard stories about our grandpa reciting poetry around the home, poetry that he would have learned in school. Of course, that was back in the day when poetry was still taught in schools, and not only was it taught, but students were expected to memorize it. Back in the day, it was called learning by heart, and it's a shame that we no longer learn poetry in that kind of way today. You know, rote memorization is viewed as a lesser kind of learning, but when you memorize something, you have it for your entire life. And that poetry that he memorized as a student in school stuck with him for his entire life, and maybe even had a role in inspiring him to write the hymn that we're talking about today.
Exactly, because hymns that we sing are often poems that are set to music, or maybe that's the definition of a hymn.
You know, it's also interesting that I don't know if we would say that English was his second language, but certainly growing up, they spoke both Finnish and English. And so it's interesting that that the English language became important enough to him, you know, from a family that had recently immigrated to the United States, that he wrote a hymn in English.
Yes, and actually, interestingly, when I was doing research to understand more of the history of what kind of space our grandpa was in when he wrote this song, I learned that he actually wrote the full lyrics in both English and in Finnish, which I thought was interesting that
Oh.
he put the effort into writing two distinct versions of the hymn.
Interesting. I'm
So
not
he
sure that
wrote,
I knew that.
yeah. So he wrote the song in 1974, and his wife Viola had died 9 years prior to that, and most of his children at that point were already adults. Maybe, as one can imagine, at that point in his life, maybe he had some more time for reflection than he had had, especially in the busy years of raising his children.
Right. You wrote in the article that part of what he may have been reflecting on at that point in his life was his repentance.
Yeah, that is true. He had lost faith for a period of time, and he had repented. And based on family recollections, part of his thought process when writing this song was him reflecting on his own feelings around his repentance. He originally had written the words to a commonly known melody at the time, a hymn called Day by Day, and later the words were adapted to fit the current 98B melody, and it originally was published into the hymnal in 1980.
I've heard, I don't know if you wrote this in the article, but that he would sing the words over and over again to the melody of Day by Day, trying to see which words fit and what lines work the best with the melody. And so I have this image in my mind of him singing the Day by Day melody over and over again while he was in the process of writing this hymn.
Yeah, that is a beautiful picture. Nels, would you be able to read the first verse for us and tell us a little bit about what the words mean to you?
First verse goes like this: O Jesus, grant in faith always beholding thy love divine and incomparable, that fearing sin, safe in thy arms enfolding, thy pain and cruel death I would recall. I think it's only recently that I realized the degree to which this hymn as a whole, but particularly this first verse, is written in the form of a prayer. This first verse, I think, if you don't stop to think about what it's actually saying, it can be easy just to sing the words and not really think about the meaning. But this hymn is really asking to be given the space in your mind and heart to reflect on the Easter story, to reflect on Christ's pain and suffering. And it also implies that there's only one place from which you can truly reflect on the Easter story, and that is a place where you are fearing sin and where you're in faith and beholding or viewing the Easter story. And if you think about it in the context of reflecting on repentance, that would indicate that in our grandpa's personal life experience, he was aware that when you're not in faith or when you're not in a place fearing sin, you cannot truly see the meaning of the Easter story.
Yeah, exactly. So these verses go one by one, recounting the events from Good Friday through the resurrection. And in each of the verses, you notice the first couple lines talk about an event during that week. And then the last few lines of the verse will bring those events close to your heart or your mind or where exactly you are sitting to realize that all these things were done personally for us.
Yeah, it is a very personal hymn. I hope that people don't get scared off by the phrases like thyself thou offered, which might sound a little bit archaic, or it may sound like an archaic phrase to us today, or things like thou wert weighed down. These words aren't commonly used, and so it might give the feeling that the words to this hymn are a bit distant to us. But in fact, if you do take the time to think about these words, they're very personal. Every aspect of the Easter story that this hymn discusses relates directly back to yourself, but more importantly, your internal life of faith.
Yeah, exactly. And even me having sung this song throughout my life it's been a special song to our family and at Easter time. It took me really sitting down with a song like this to really appreciate how personal it was, because I think part of it is the phrasing and some of the words, but it's also just to kind of sit and really sit with the words to see how it really touches our hearts.
So just a couple of examples of that. In the third verse, thou let thy hands be bound in full submission, that from my bonds my freedom I would gain. There's a direct connection there between Christ's hands being bound in full submission and the spiritual freedom that we gain through faith. Or another example would be, all this thou bore from death and hell to save me, to heal my wounds of sin here on this earth. So again, the direct link between what Christ experienced and what that has done for us in our lives of faith.
Yeah, it's a beautiful way of reminding us and bringing the message close to our hearts.
Or another example, not to get bogged down on this, but it is a very important part of the hymn here. So in verse 7, upon the cross thou cried, it is all finished. Thou bowed thy head and gave thy life for me. Thus for my soul the warfare is accomplished, and double for my sins have I received.
And in that way, the impact is very deep when you are reminded that all these things happened personally for us. And of course, we know that, but that's the beauty of a song like this, is it can really bring that message close.
Yes, exactly. And a hymn can say things that we feel in our hearts, but that are difficult to put into words.
Exactly.
Well, that brings us to the last verse of this hymn, verse 9, which is very familiar to us, Mara, and our family. This hymn is inscribed on our grandpa's grave at the
Yeah.
Glenhaven Cemetery. And so I'll just read the last verse. So everything that has been talked about in the hymn up until this point, for this I'll praise thee here upon my journey. And then at last, when I can come to thee, and on that peaceful shore, no longer yearning, I'll sing the hymn of saints eternally.
Yes, it's a beautiful transition from all the weighty events of Good Friday through the resurrection to that
To
peaceful
how
shore.
that, yes, exactly, and how that Easter story lives on in our daily lives through the hope of heaven and
Exactly.
yearning for the homeland. So as we bring this conversation to a close, I think I'll just read the last couple of paragraphs of your article. Actually, why don't you read them, since you are the author after all?
Yes, I certainly can. The song closes with a verse of longing. It reminds us that for all these things Jesus did for us, we endeavor to praise and thank him on our journey onward, with the hope of one day reaching the eternal shore of heaven. There we will sing the hymn of saints eternally. This song brings the Easter message close to my heart and the hearts of brothers and sisters in faith. It is a message that uplifts us to this day.